Welcome to Beyond the Show, the podcast home of all things Cannabis Conference. My name is Eric Sandy, and I'm the digital editor of the Cannabis Group at GIE Media. Happy 420 to all of our listeners. This episode is hitting the airwaves on April 21st, but here I am at Beyond the Show World Headquarters recording this intro on the big day. We've got a lot of fantastic retail-focused coverage on the CBT website, and in the near future, we're going to be sharing some sales data from this week. So keep an eye out for that, since 420 sales can certainly be indicative of broader trends at play throughout the rest of the year. And also, just a quick note that once again, Cannabis Conference registration prices will be increasing on April 26th. I know a lot of you already signed up in our earlier pricing bracket, which is terrific, but if you're mapping out your summer and circling August 15th to the 17th for Cannabis Conference in Las Vegas, make sure you stop by Cannabis Conference today and save yourself a few bucks. We've been adding some new speakers and sessions to the website, so check that out. And make sure to sign up for the newsletter as well, where we are going to be announcing much more in the coming weeks. We're staying busy behind the scenes and planning some awesome things for this year. I can assure you of that. On the podcast this week, we've got Jason Nelson, the CEO of Beleaf Medical in Missouri. We've been watching the booming sales figures coming out of Missouri and its adult use market, and it's pretty amazing to see. Associate editor Tony Lang recently wrote a feature on the sales dynamics at play between Illinois and Missouri, and that state border issue is one aspect of the early success in the Show Me State. We wanted to get a better sense of what was happening in Missouri, so we're eager to share this interview with Jason, and we'll be back next week with another episode from Missouri, so stay tuned. In the meantime, please enjoy my conversation with Jason Nelson. Welcome to the show this week. Very glad to get a chance to talk with you about Beleaf Medical and about the Missouri market, which has certainly graced the homepage of CannabisBusinessTimes.com pretty frequently over the last few months for reasons that we'll get into. Before getting into some of the, you know, maybe market-specific questions that I wanted to get into, could you tell us a bit about Beleaf Medical? Sort of give us an overview of the company.
Yeah, sure, Eric. And yeah, great to be here. And thank you, obviously, for your work covering the sector. So Beleaf, initially born back in 2016 as a CBD hemp producer here in the state of Missouri. So one of the first licensed and maybe the only licensed actually CBD producer in Missouri, and hoed that tough road for a couple of years. And then ultimately, as the First Amendment initiative passed for medical cannabis, Beleaf applied for retail production and manufacturing for THC touching licenses. And was fortunate to be awarded some of all of those. So we currently have 5 retail licenses that are St. Louis centric. We have 3 production licenses that, again, are fairly St. Louis centric from our production facilities, 2 manufacturing, and also a transporter. So, you know, as we a current clip, fully integrated single state operator. And it was, you know, was a successful 2 years in the medical program. When I say successful, obviously we had great patient engagement, good revenue growth. But it's true, it was juxtaposed Beleaf against what was, even at the time, 60 other producers in the state, over 200 retail sites. What that manifested itself as, unfortunately, was certainly a challenging and very competitive medical market. But by consequence, then, as we leveraged resources and understand the prospect of adult use cannabis here in Missouri, put it in front of the voters, got it passed, and that resulting foundation, while it was challenging for individual operators pre-rec, it certainly facilitated a very successful recreational launch. And obviously, it's to some of everybody's surprise of how excited the customers were, certainly the sales numbers coming out of the first and second month. While you hope for those outcomes, I think it certainly surpassed our expectations.
Yeah, and I definitely want to dig into those expectations and some of those numbers, because you're right, it is off to a very hot start. And we've been doing some reporting just sort of from a pure numbers standpoint. So with that adult use vote, of course, Missouri has kind of popped up on the radar of the national cannabis map for adult use markets. But as you mentioned, you know, the company does have deep roots in the cannabis space in Missouri. Could you talk a bit about, you know, you've already gotten into it a little bit, but how that experience in the medical space translates to adult use in these early months? You know, what were some of the maybe the most important business lessons that you brought into 2023 on the adult use side?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, and just to preface my experience, before I came to Beleaf, I've been with them about 9 months now. I had 6 years with an MSO out of Illinois, and then I was with a single state operator in Denver 3 years before that. So I had seen, this is my seventh adult use transition, in various degrees across the country. To that general point of what it meant for Missouri in its own specific unique case study, and specifically for Beleaf, and how well ultimately we were positioned to be able to manage that successfully. And so I think you're right. Each of these market transitions, as we've seen it, is its own unique circumstance. And as I prefaced a bit earlier, that for what was a medical market that certainly had robust inventories, strong pricing, and the truth is, it wasn't even medical pricing as we've maintained it for our medical patients. It wasn't as low as say some other states with respect to say your typical units, but was also certainly more competitive than other medical markets than we've seen across the country. So you're right. I think a key thing for medical patients, one, we had all the form factors here outside of a couple outs. We couldn't do an infused pre-roll, for example, in medical, but hey, we had every other form factor, really strong menus, really strong pricing across a good, better, best brand strategy. And then to leverage my experience into one, managing Beleaf in that sunsetting medical Q3, Q4 of last year, that was certainly, it was very tactful. It took a lot of resource management and truthfully, a lot of the other operators in the state of Missouri were feeling that general competitive crunch, right? It was a good patient engagement, but we knew there were statistics like St. Louis City, for example, only had 6,000 registered medical patients. And so when you see a statistic like that, you know that there's a large number of cannabis consumers that, and as not uncommon, don't want to go through a registration with a government entity to become a medical patient. And in our case on the St. Louis side, they had an option to cross over into Illinois, certainly pay some relatively high prices by comparison with respect to the same quality of products that medical patients had access to here in Missouri. So as you kind of understand that, then we back into like, well, hey, this has been a successful launch. Now we need to make sure that we're managing both the program and out of respect for medical patients to keep them engaged and retain their activity. And likewise, welcome all of these new adult use clients. One, that, hey, you certainly get those legacy consumers that were maybe purchasing in the illicit market. They'll come see you once or twice out of excitement. But then, the responsibility remains on us as operators to keep that relationship going, because one, it's certainly a increase in public safety that unfortunately illicit market products, as we know, subject to varying amounts of contaminants, either heavy metals, pesticides, those types of things. And it's true that we've seen it in other markets where unfortunately you do, if prices get too high, if the relationship and the conversation with legacy consumers isn't successful, they'll disengage, and then it's obviously very difficult to get them back. So we're excited about the momentum we've got going so far, and it was certainly a responsibility for Beleaf, one, to maintain that medical patient support and advocacy, because they were the foundation of this entire thing, and now successfully welcome in a larger purchasing population of adult use clients.
Yeah, and of course the numbers on one hand kind of speak for themselves. We're seeing some of these monthly sales figures coming in around the $100 million mark. We're looking at, a $1 billion market by year's end, really, if certain trends play out. And that's interesting. And I think those are always fun stories to write. But to zoom in a little bit, what does that look like on maybe a day-to-day basis at some of these Suede locations? Like, what are some of the ways that the staff has been able to adapt to that ballooning consumer base and different demands?
Yeah, it's an interesting case study on different sides of the state. So as I mentioned, Suede is very St. Louis centric. So we were St. Louis born. I've got three of my Suede locations in the city of St. Louis proper, and then I have two that are in the suburbs outlying. And on this side of the state, and I'll back that into kind of the observations we've seen on the Kansas City side, on this side of the state, we were really prepared for what we anticipated was a typical adult use launch, which is say, hey, you've got a bunch of excited clientele, you're going to have lines. And while those, that's exciting from a media perspective, it certainly is taxing on retail staff. There's a lot of challenges that go along with it. Likewise, those long lines can also alienate medical patients, right? It's like they were used to coming in and being able to buy their products in 5 minutes and be on their way. So what we saw, and thankfully in the St. Louis Louis market specifically was that, hey, maybe it was the adjacency that cannabis was already adult use right across the river. We had comfortable 3 to 4 times the amount of store traffic that we have, but we did not see those excessive long lines. And to your general comment, you know, one of the key metrics for success for us was as we looked at that first month's launch data for us at Suede, we still saw that medical patients were very robustly engaged. And likewise, you know, in cases where medical patients were so comfortable with the adult use launch that they were bringing friends in with them, right? And that really is one of the most exciting things I understood about our St. Louis side launch, because it's true that's in the past when you've seen, you know, obviously going through Illinois as a case study, you know, one that, you know, super long lines, a lot of excitement, but we also had to approach that Illinois launch with purchasing restrictions, right? So, you know, at the time of that launch, you could only buy a unit of flower, for example, in an edible, or maybe one cartridge in an edible. We didn't have to do that at all in Missouri. And I think, you know, when you talk about understanding what that demand and those ultimate sales numbers look like, that's a key component, right? Of this, that's what makes Missouri, I think, unique amongst these modern launches, that you did have a relatively normalized commodity relationship. And I'll supplement that with, as I mentioned, the KC side. I think what that is telling us over there is that those retail storefronts, which I don't have any of those over there, we wholesale into those markets with my Sense brand, obviously. But you know, they were seeing 10x upsides of traffic, customer traffic. And really what that indicated to me is, one, you certainly had a lot of excitement from the Kansas, Nebraska, the other adjacent states up there, being able to cross over into Missouri and buy some adult use cannabis, because they were in a relatively, you know, relative cannabis desert, you know, mm-hmm. from a regulatory perspective. Obviously you could drive over to Denver, you know, but at the same time, you know, that particular outcome, while that's certainly attractive for us as a wholesaler, I really will. I take a little bit of the notion that, yeah, I sure could have used some more cash in hand with more retail upside in the St. Louis market, but the costs associated with that, I was comfortable not having to tax my staff that way, you know, to really have customers be truly disenfranchised on the St. Louis side. So it's been wildly interesting and yeah, exciting to navigate. And you're right. We just, if we're going to hit that $1 billion, you want to just see nice, consistent engagement over the course of the summer months. And yeah, I think we're posed to do that.
Yeah, the Tale of Two Cities thing is really interesting. And as a bit of background on my end, I'm talking here from Ohio, where you've got Cleveland bordering an adult use, bordering an adult use state up near Michigan, and then Cincinnati around some, some medical states. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I just read recently that Missouri is the state with the most states bordering it. Is that correct, you know, offhand?
Right, the true heartland, right?
It's true. Exactly.
And, you know, you're right, when you understand who borders us, you know, obviously Illinois, we have been seeing some tourism come over from Illinois. One, our wholesale prices, retail prices were lower, you know, a better supply and demand relationship. And two, it's not a mystery or a surprise that the tax structure is also lower here in Missouri. I think we advocated for a relatively reasonable middle ground, you know, that initial 6% tax that we have on adult use. And we did. I supported the additional 3% tax I voted for personally, because, you know, a lot of the tax dollars that we're collecting we overly advocated for those and robustly advocated for those because they are. It's, you know, it's public defender support. It's the automatic expungements have been going really well. Substance abuse support from those tax dollars, for example. So, you know, yeah, it really has been one of those things too. Down in Arkansas is another neighboring state. Obviously, they're medical down there. And then conversely, on the other side, where you've got a border with Oklahoma, we certainly understood we were losing a lot of medical patients over to Oklahoma because they honor reciprocity for a medical patient. And it's true, if everybody knows that particular market, it was flush with producers, even lower prices than Missouri. And so you're right, all of those bordering states have their own individual relationship, you know, and outside of Kansas and Nebraska, where, hey, you certainly have people who are cannabis consumers that unfortunately the legislature had no appetite or continues to have no appetite to offer them a regulated option.
Yeah. Well, I know it's still early days in this adult use market in Missouri. But what are some of the early consumer demand signals that you're picking up on? I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say flower is perhaps a leading product category. But what have you guys been noticing so far?
Yeah, you're right. A lot of those trends we've seen in adult use markets did hold. You know, flower still leading. You know, vape and concentrate then second. But You know, we saw right out of the gate, you know, closer to 20% of total purchases towards an edibles SKU, for example. And that's, I believe, slightly higher than my typical experience in the past. You know, you can certainly, you know, reference a 12 to 15% as fairly sound. And so that, you know, reasons for that may well be one of those circumstances where we didn't limit purchases, right? If somebody wanted to buy some flower and buy an edible at the same time, or just buy edibles specifically, there was plenty of supply, plenty of brands. And so as you see that, it probably indicates the fact that, hey, you know, yeah, as more consumers are welcomed into the space and aren't necessarily constrained in their purchases, that edibles do tend to see an uptick more substantially than, say, your legacy flower consumers. And notably, we did, it's, you know, while it hasn't really affected Suede so much, thankfully, we spent a lot of energy in our wholesale relationships in Q3 and Q4 last year. There was some supply chain variability or volatility, and it was predominantly on the west side of the state. And so that, you know, certain single site dispensaries I know had trouble getting product, you know, if they hadn't put that effort into, say, building those wholesale relationships previously. And likewise, there were certain dispensaries that chose to drastically increase their prices because they could fetch a price premium under that supply chain volatility. That being said, for us in Suede, we put a lot of energy and effort, one, to make sure that we had strong relationships to keep our inventory sound, and two, that we didn't balloon our prices, you know, that we wanted to have that conversation and relationship with our consumers, knowing that, hey, any of those consumers have an illicit market product option at substantially lower costs. And if I'm going to speak to that consumer about the value and safety of my cannabis products in my retail environment, I really have to be very cost conscious. I have to avoid that temptation. It's like, well, yeah, I could easily add another 20% to my retail pricing. And, you know, so I think that has been something that's been successful for us. But I certainly lament that some customers in certain areas, towns, they didn't maintain that relationship with their dispensary. And that's unfortunate. But that was really about 2 weeks, I think, of that supply chain volatility. It's still working through it. But, you know, at the end of the day, that was one of my biggest, you know, upsides for me, bringing my experience to someone like BeLeaf, because I've seen what it means to go from a, you know, 1X sales number to a 3X to a 5X and so on. And so that ability to manage that back end of supply chain, it was a fortunate outcome for us. And I think other operators and sites will certainly get themselves there. But it was, to your point of the tale of two cities, it is. There's just, if you were a consumer on the east side of the state in St. Louis, it was a different experience than the west side.
Yeah. I'm curious too, just, you know, one thing that we've been reporting on throughout the year has been essentially a wholesale price compression trend that we're seeing, especially in some of the older rec markets. And I'm wondering if being a newer market, just in terms of the pure timing, insulates Missouri producers from some of that price compression. I don't know if that's something that you guys have been seeing and trying to navigate, just on that, the pricing side.
Yeah, you know, I think it really is, you know, pricing is such an interesting conversation. And I will say, you know, in other markets, certainly that are MSO dominated, those bigger firms tend to struggle with that conversation, right? There, it seems like you either have operators in certain markets who kind of get into a staring contest and hold prices, you know, really don't want to, you know, address or reduce wholesale prices any more quickly than they are forced to by some other market climate, or the alternative of one of those operators just makes a decision to crash the price, right? Really to really blow out their production. And so, you know, either one is not an ideal outcome, right? You know, we all need to be prepared to manage our business models as though wholesale prices will likely reduce over time as the commodity, it normalizes, right? But, you know, if the prices are too high, like I would charge Illinois with, you know, those particular markets, you know, not being scaled sufficiently, you've just seen it. You've seen customer disengagement amongst those high prices alongside a higher tax structure. And compared to your point, then something like Massachusetts, where, you know, prices got so low that a lot of the emerging operators really, you know, had some difficult circumstances to deal with. I think most everybody realizes this is still a difficult financial climate to manage, just given federal taxing relationships for firms that choose to pay their federal taxes versus punt those things. So, you know, you're right. It's that conversation. We have the benefit here too in Missouri of this being the third generation of an adult adult use market transition. And so if we're cognizant and we're going to have that conversation, it's like, one, we need to maintain strong wholesale prices so that we can manage our business in a difficult climate. But we also just have to continue to have that conversation and say, listen, I can have a 12 to 15% value add over illicit market pricing. And it's going to be tough to say, well, listen, it's going to be 30 to 40% over a wholesale or a illicit market product, because you'll lose that conversation, right? You'll start to have consumers who make a different choice.
Yeah, just real quick, you just mentioned third generation adult use transition. Could you elaborate on that? Are you referring to like the waves of adult use that we've seen over the years?
Correct. You know, yeah, you obviously have, I was part of Denver's transition. Likewise, you certainly have the West Coast. Illinois, I consider that the second generation. Massachusetts, some of your East Coast markets. And it's true, as we understood what could happen here in Missouri, it was that what makes this the third generation in my mind is that absence of a supply constraint on the initial market participation, right? That it really was. It was, I think, a very unique relationship with an adult use launch, and hopefully and best case that for medical markets that pursue a transition going forward, that they understand the successes that we are having here, and then that, you know, finding that nice little sweet spot where operators can be successful, grow and expand, and then likewise customers maintain engagement.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, hoping the Ohio lawmakers are listening to this episode. Well, of course, here we are, Jason. We're talking on April 19th, and this episode will come out in a few days. So before now and then, we've got 420, of course, and this being the first such 420 for the adult use market in Missouri. I know essentially just hours away, really, for retailers out there. But what are some of the ways that you guys have prepared for this particular day or even this whole week, really?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I, you know, myself as a legacy consumer, obviously, you know, understand the meaning and the purpose of 420 and kind of the excitement around it. And two, in some respects as well, as it is, it'll be a Thursday, right? And it's we know that we're excited to do some fun events and get folks out. We certainly anticipate that will kind of carry over into the weekend. But no, we, you know, BeLeaf itself really does focus a lot of that, call it marketing energy on below the ground relationships. So supporting local events, supporting local artisans. We've got a really fun pub crawl associated with our Greenlight District down towards Cherokee Street. And it's while it's relatively unique in and of itself, we'll have a brass band playing and those types of things are fun. We certainly acknowledge it and have excitement for it. And two, it's to the degree of getting folks out and just enjoying the climate and atmosphere, the weather starting to reconcile here in Missouri. Obviously we've had some nice spring days, so it's exciting. I mean, we don't work to minimize it, but also too, just to contextualize it of, hey, it is an exciting legacy holiday that we certainly want to offer respect to all the folks who have come before us to help us build this industry.
Certainly. Well, again, the rest of 2023 is sort of stretching out before us as like you said, the weather is breaking. We're looking ahead to summer here. What are some of the goals that you and your team may have set, either for like on the business side or even internally, that you're hoping to achieve as the rest of the year goes on?
Yeah, great question. Well, it's true that you want to build and grow responsibly, right? From both perspectives. One, certainly your relationship with medical patients and adult use consumers, that they feel satisfied and are, you know, content to continue engaging in the relationship with a storefront. Internally, same example, right? You want to continue to build your business model responsibly. We've certainly seen, it'd be one of the things that like, well, listen, hey, Missouri's launched amazingly well, let's go ahead and deploy any amount of capital necessary to get us as big and lofty as possible. And unfortunately, we've just seen a big reconciliation amongst some larger operators with layoffs and being in a poor position, ultimately, that there is still quite a bit of volatility from a federal perspective, right? That there's a lot of ambivalence on how that path will play out. And so while it is exciting, it still backs itself into what, otherwise is a very bearish climate across the national market with respect to investors, capital access, any of those elements. So, and likewise, making sure that we support our internal employees, existing employees, be able to welcome new faces into the network in a very contextualized way, which is a challenge, right? It's the cultural competency for the cannabis industry is very specific. And you certainly do. Again, you see some of those larger operators that they just struggle with that because it's inherently difficult. So it is, I think it's a responsible growth outcome for BeLeaf Medical Not to say we don't move outside of Missouri with some very tactful relationships and partnerships, but it is that we're going to hoe a very fiscally sound and responsible road here in Missouri. We'll understand the durability of this particular market. And then too, I think use that as assessments for, you know, what something like an untapped cannabis consumer population, say in states that are not easily accessible, such as Kansas, other Midwest environments, and the ultimate value that that might place on some place like Texas. You know, that there's a long game down there, obviously, with respect to how they might come about normalizing cannabis. But I think what we've indicated is that the demand is there, that the appetite is there, assuming that you can maintain, you know, great quality at what people perceive as reasonable prices.
Absolutely. Well, all great points there, and plenty to keep an eye on as this year rolls on. And certainly we'll be watching the action in Missouri and following along with the story of your company. I mean, it's been fun to watch so far, and certainly was great to get a chance to talk with you today, Jason. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise, Eric. And, you know, happy to have conversations in the future. You're right. We'll check back in a couple of months, and hopefully it is just that consistent month over month growth. And again, it's beholden of the participants, both for employees in the space and likewise consumers, that, hey, here's what a successful cannabis program can look like. And you're right. Hopefully then a roadmap for folks in Ohio, let alone Texas, any other markets that are considering transition, certainly your southern corridor. I think we have. We've certainly put some very successful things in place and still have a vast responsibility to execute against them.
Absolutely. Yeah, sounds like a plan. And yeah, definitely appreciate the time today, Jason.
Yeah, likewise, Eric. Yeah, take care.
And that's a wrap on another episode of Beyond the Show. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jason Nelson of Beleaf Medical in Missouri. I know I did. It was great to get a chance to learn a bit more about some of the dynamics at play in Missouri, you know, one of the newest adult use markets in the U.S. as we have, like Jason said, this third wave of adult use legalization taking place. It's interesting to see how these markets are evolving, the lessons they're learning from other markets that came before, and the example they're setting for what one hopes will be a fourth wave of adult use legalization coming down the road in the near future. You know, some of those sales dynamics there, whether it's 420 or otherwise, those are going to be sort of the same kind of conversations we're having at Cannabis Conference in just a few short months. We're going to be getting into some of the retail trends, certainly, and a lot of the cultivation context further up the supply chain from those sales trends. We're going to be talking about it all. It's 2 days of education. We've got the VIP cultivation roundtable the day before the formal conference. We've got a cultivation workshop, dispensary workshop, you know, how to launch a cultivation business, how to launch a retail business. Those are all some of the day one activities before the 2 days of education. You can learn more about all that, obviously, at cannabisconference.com. Check out the full schedule. Like I said at the top of the episode, our prices are increasing kind of every 6 weeks here, and we're coming up on a little bit of a deadline, April 26th. So if you're listening to this episode as it comes out on April 21st, make sure you head on over to cannabisconference.com, learn more about the show, learn more about the reasons why it'll be a fantastic choice for you to attend this year in 2023, and go on ahead and sign up. Save yourself a few bucks there. Otherwise, sign up for the newsletter, because we've got a lot of email announcements coming your way, whether that's new speakers or new sessions as we're fine-tuning the schedule and bringing industry experts into the fold, or a couple unexpected news items. I'm not going to drop too many hints here, but we've got some really exciting stuff happening at the 2023 show that has not happened before in any of the previous six cannabis conferences. So this is going to be a good one. If you haven't been before, this is the year to come. If you have been before, you know. I'll see you out there.